Today FM, this is Pumped Up Kicks with Dec Pearce and Anna Geary.
Now, our first guest today is an All-Ireland winning Gaelic footballer from Armagh and Ulster, but he is now more widely known for his expertise in coaching around performance and mental strength conditioning, advising world-class athletes and national and international companies. CEO of McNulty Performance, Enda McNulty, welcome to Pumped Up Kicks.
Anna, thanks for having me, Dec. It's a pleasure to be on the show this morning. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, we're delighted to have you. How has everything been for you in the last number of weeks? I'm sure, like everybody, you're adjusting to this period.
Well, it's been hugely challenging. It's also been very humbling to see the impact we can make on people's lives during this period, whether that's charities, whether that's companies, whether that's athletes who are reinventing themselves. So, of course, very challenging. If anybody said it wasn't challenging, they'd be telling lies. Mm-hmm. Very challenging, but that's where all growth occurs. In challenge and adversity is where real leaders emerge. It's a real organization step up, and it's where we can show our true character. So I really love that aspect of it.
That is so true. I even find that about myself. I shine when the chips are down, I have to say.
Self-praise, no praise. But anyway.
you're the owner of McNulty Performance. Tell us a little bit about that.
So we set the company up in 2005 with a mission that was to help people unlock their potential. My father coined that phrase in terms of our mission. And basically what we do is we coach, we train, we develop leaders in professional sport and business around the world to achieve their full potential. And we do that in three or four key ways. So building leaders, building high-performance teams, improving the well-being of the individuals, the organization, and of course coaching mm-hmm. to unlock potential.
And you mentioned the word leaders there, and I think it's very appropriate at this time because obviously we're all leaders in our own ways, whether it's family, sports team, businesses. Like, what kind of characteristics would you see in strong leaders? What should strong leaders be doing right now in this current situation?
Well, I remember about 5 years ago meeting Anna Geary at a at a live event.
I remember it well, Fest. Yes, I remember it.
And I remember looking at the energy and the poise and the charisma and the bravery of this young lady. And I suppose I had the bravery to go up and say hello at the end of that session. And then you came about 2 weeks later seeking advice about how could you make that transition from an amazing camogie player and captain into having an amazing career after camogie. So there's some of the characteristics of great leadership there. Bravery. Mm-hmm. Of course, being able to communicate prolifically. The great leaders during this crisis are able to stay composed and calm. Mm-hmm. The great leaders, of course, are able to influence, they're able to inspire, they're able to motivate, but they're also able to set the right strategy. And I think in Ireland, we could be very proud of our leaders, whether that's our Taoiseach, obviously Leo Varadkar, whether it's Simon Harris, mm-hmm. Whether it's Tony Holohan, obviously in the HSC, and there's other great examples of leadership around the world.
And I'll have to pay you now a bribe afterwards for all those kind words.
She was looking at the big smile on her face here.
Well, I was like, wow, I was like, this is great. I'm going to have Enda on more often for a little bit of an ego boost. But you are so right, and I think everybody can do something, but Dec and I were even talking off air beforehand, and we were talking around the idea of the fear around this uncertainty. And I suppose we've conditioned ourselves now to be in lockdown for the last number of weeks. You know, we're looking at months now at this stage. How now can people, I suppose, reverse that? Because sometimes getting out of that mentality is harder than getting into it.
I love that cork phrase, reverse out of it. I hope it's okay to use an arm off phrase here. Let's flip it around. Flip it around. Rather than fear and rather than the chaos and rather than adversity that we're hearing on all media, and I don't only mean national media and amazing radio stations like Today FM. What I do mean is even on our family WhatsApp groups. Mm-hmm. In the last 10 weeks, my family WhatsApp, at one stage I actually had to say to the guys, please stop sending me in the stats and the research from the best doctors in the world. Mm-hmm. So with all that chaos and adversity and negative media coming at us from all angles, what I think we need to do is flip it around. Mm-hmm. And flip it around into what can we control here? What are the positives here? Where is the mega opportunities? Mm-hmm. And I believe that in some industries, there's mega opportunities. That's what real entrepreneurs do, to see opportunities in crisis, to see an opportunity to make a difference in people's lives, even when everybody else is in panic mode. In fact, that's when they thrive most. When people are in panic mode, they walk in nice and calmly, they see an opportunity, they set up and they exploit it. But of course done with the right values and the right humanity.
And we have had a couple of people contacting us, and even I was saying to Anna and myself that there's a, you know, there's a lot of people who are excited about moving into phase two, but there are an awful lot of people who are anxious about it as well. You know, and one of the things that I've sort of noticed as well is an awful lot of negativity through social media. Do you find it'd be healthy kind of for people to kind of put down the phone for a while and, as you said, just sort of focus on the positive?
Well, Deck, you mentioned their anxiety. A lot of people are anxious. Well, I would say, of course they're going to be anxious, but let's take control of that. One of the phrases I used recently in an Irish Times article was, stand guard at the door of your own mind. I control my anxiety levels, not the government, not the media, not what it says in the Irish Times, not what somebody says in a tweet into my Twitter account. So I have to take full responsibility for my mental and emotional health. That's my responsibility. Thankfully, there's practical steps we can take. So obviously, exercise is a practical step to deal with anxiety. Obviously, things like mindfulness and meditation and gratitude in particular are like the antidote to anxiety. So when we focus on what we're thankful for, and in Ireland, there's so much at the moment to be thankful for, it's almost like giving ourselves an antidote in the arm as a shot against the anxiety.
It's a great way of looking at it. It said, when you know that you have the power, even from a sports point of view, it was control the controllables. You can't control what's happening in the world, but you can control how you react to it. It's a really good way of looking at it. Just to take you back for a second, Anna, now, to your GA days. Now, we won't go back all the way to 2002 and all the players that marked you, what they had to say, right? We won't go that far. But your transition from a GA player, you know, into a performance coach, into an entrepreneur, into a world-class business leader, how did you find that? There's a lot of players, amateur and professional, that are listening right now that are either thinking about that transition post-sport, or they've gone into it and they're struggling. How did you find that transition? And did you struggle a little bit with identity? What did you focus on during that time?
Well, first of all, and I think we were talking about it yesterday, I had an unbelievable mentor that was introduced to me by Cathal O'Rourke, the Armagh footballer. And this mentor was a barrister who was one of the barristers on the Bloody Sunday Tribunal, a very formidable Armagh guy, ex-Armagh footballer as well. His name was Paddy O'Hanley. He's also a good friend of my father. He's dead now, God rest him. But when I was maybe 2 months after Armagh won the All-Ireland, he asked to meet me in the Canal Court in Uri. And we sat down with a cup of tea, and we had all the niceties and all the pleasantries about what did you enjoy about winning it, and so on. But he very quickly cut out of that, and he said to me, "Enda, what are you going to do when the ball is over?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean the ball is over? What are you going to do when football is over?" I was 25 years of age, in my prime. And this guy was looking over me, a bold, very strong man. Look at me, said, "Well, what are you going to do when it's all over? Like, what are you going to do with your career?" I was coaching full-time for Ballyboden St Enda's. I was a coaching director, was playing football, I was having the time of my life. And this, here's this man having the cheek to ask me, the hell?
He wasn't on your radar at that stage.
Yeah, he wasn't interested in football. He didn't give a damn about what we'd won and what we hadn't won. But he did give a damn what was going to do with my career and what was going to do with my life. So I was actually annoyed. I was really angry at him. And it was, I actually vividly remember sitting back in the chair with my cup shaking on the plate and going, "What the cheek of this bloody man." And he said to me, "I tell you what, Enda, I'll meet you here in a month's time in the Canal Court downstairs at the same table." And he gave me a specific time. "If you know what you want to really do with your life.
Wow.
If you know what you want to do with your life, and you come back to me and meet me here at this time, at this table, in 1 month's time. And if you don't be wasting my time anymore as your mentor, Enda."
Oh my God.
Wow. Was it he made you think, he made you put a mirror in front of yourself and look at yourself?
He didn't sugarcoat it either.
Yeah, because everybody, and Anna, you've done that incredibly well, and Deck, you've done that incredibly well in your career. We're all going through multiple transitions. When we go from primary school into secondary school, that's transition. When we go from secondary school into college, that's transition. I was probably the worst student at Queen's University ever had, but it was in transition in my life. Then I went from college into starting to play football. I was very average, just was lucky to be in a very good team. And then I started to realize, how can I have a transition into being a better footballer, a better leader? Then transition into how to become a very good coach. Then transition into setting the business up. Then failing in 4 or 5 businesses at the start. So, Anna, you said very nice things about me there. But to be honest with you, the business that I've been involved with, it failed. Nobody talks about it. Nobody celebrates that in Irish Times or Today FM. So that's also...
And you probably learned more from that as well.
I was going to say,
Like you losing a big game, you learn. Well, I suppose you learn... if you've got the right mindset and psychology. Mm-hmm. So in this chaos, we can all learn here if we have the right mindset and psychology.
It's a really good way of looking at it. Again, it's taking back that control. I mean, I know even your, I suppose, repertoire of the amount of people that you've helped in sport in particular. I mean, it's amazing. And I know Brian O'Driscoll, even in his autobiography, The Test, he talked very much about how he's found your positivity infectious and that you went on to help him to achieve what was probably his best ever season. And I remember he said something along the lines of, you asked him what he wanted to achieve in the end of the year, and he said, I want to be shortlisted for the IRB Player of the Year and I want to be Lions captain in South Africa. And by the end of that year, he went from considering giving up the Irish captaincy to being shortlisted for the IRB Player of the Year and getting the Lions captain. Like, when someone says something to you, is there anything that's unrealistic, or do you always find that there is a way to get to what you want? Because I'm sure there's people listening saying, I want to be president of Ireland. Can that happen?
I want to play the Three Arena in a year's time. Is there any chance that I'll do that?
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll sit down and have a coffee in a month's time if you have your plan down on paper.
I will.
Excellent. His eyes are bulging right now. He's so excited.
So I'll meet you in Donnybrook at our offices. If you put that mission down on paper to play in the Three Arena with a full house, if you have a very good strategic plan down on paper, and if you have why you want to play in the Three Arena, I'd be delighted to meet you for coffee and help you realise that dream.
Like inundated with messages now going, I'll meet him as well for coffee in Donnybrook with my strategic plan. But again, what you just said there, is, I suppose that makes a lot of sense. It's about your why. Like, do you want it badly enough? What is your purpose and what's the reason for it?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Brian there, and I know that you guys bump into Brian, of course, in News Talk, and I'm bumping into them up the stairs there in Today FM. What I think is the reason that Brian O'Driscoll is such a phenomenal leader, and we were talking about leadership earlier on, such a phenomenal player, Brian wanted to improve so much. Mm-hmm. All great coaching and breakthrough happens when the coachee is at a stage in their life when they really want to step forward and break through. Because if you had the best coach in the world, the coach is no use if the coachee isn't ready to really commit and break through. Brian was 100% ready, and he deserves all the credit. I learned more from Brian than he did from me. I wouldn't take any credit. I have huge respect for Brian, but I wouldn't take any credit. Mm-hmm. Linking that into your question, Anna, about big goals and big dreams, mm-hmm. I think those moonshot goals, and I know my northern accent isn't that clear, those moonshot goals, I think, are absolutely imperative. Those JFK goals about putting a man on the moon, I always think about that. If I've got a problem in my business or in my life, I think, how the hell did they put people on the moon over 50 years ago? And I've got a challenge here with sales, or I've got a challenge here with building a better company or a better marketing or a better brand or whatever. So moonshot goals are very important, I think, to shift our thinking, to change our thinking about what is possible. And then, of course, we need some realistic goals, like what can we do in the next 90 days? Most people overestimate what they're going to do in the next 12 months and underestimate what they're going to do in the next 10 years.
Oh, there you go.
I'm keeping that
in mind the next time I write down some serious goals. Thank you very much for that.
Can we ask you about your dad? I get the impression he was a huge influence on your life. Is it true that he used to play motivational tapes in the car on the way to your games as a kid?
I would love to tell you that it was an unbelievably cool Aston Martin. I would love to say that it was a top of the range of Mercedes. It was a banged up Reynolds 18. Yes. And I'll never forget, I mean banged up. My daddy, there was no tape recorder in the radio, so my daddy had to put the old radio out. You know those old radios that no tape recorder is?
Yes.
So he had to get rid of that old radio, and he got a new radio that had a really cool tape recorder. And imagine how lucky we were. Yeah. And the radio was stuck in the dashboard with two plugs of wood.
Oh my God. I can actually visualize that. I can visualize it. I really can.
So what he used to do was he used to play these tips about a guy who was a famous potentiality coach called Lou Tice. Mm-hmm. And I'd be going to the matches, and obviously my daddy was a Gaelic football coach and a teacher. So my daddy would load the boys up into the car. Sometimes in the old school, as you know, you'd have maybe 8 or 9 in the car.
Or
going
16.
And camogues and hurlers and the whole lot in. But interestingly, I was very embarrassed when my daddy started playing these tapes about your self-image and your self-esteem and how to improve your self-worth and your self-confidence. 14 years of age. I was, Daddy, will you please not play that tape when the Mac and T's were in the car? The Mac and T's went on to win the Ireland afterwards. We're lucky to play along with those days.
Yeah, with all the subliminal messaging that you're obviously getting from the tapes.
Yeah, Daddy, don't play when Aidan O'Rourke's in the car again. He went on afterwards. So he would play it over and over again. And then when I had a terrible game, my dad would play it and not talk to me. He would just play it. And maybe if you're coming back from a game, maybe an hour and a half away, he would play it over and over again. And he wouldn't turn it off. Didn't matter how many times. He'd go in to the shop and maybe get me a bottle of Coke after the match and come back out. And I had the radio off. He'd turn it back on again.
Wow.
He did not refuse. So that was when I was 14, and my daddy's 75 today, and he's still at it. This morning, he's sending me a message about what some of the leading mental training coaches in the world are talking about during this pandemic.
And it's extraordinary, I suppose, because like you said, the physical aspect of any sport is one side of it, but it's the mental fitness and that strength that we all, I think, even in our everyday lives, need to work on, particularly at the moment, like you said, when we're faced with this adversity, that we could possibly come out stronger the other side.
I love the way you say every day, Anna. It's a bit like, you know, that brilliant camogie team that you girls played with. So you have to train every day if you want to be the best like you girls were. So I think in this pandemic, we have to work on our mental and emotional fitness every day. Everybody's out walking. We know that Sport Ireland has said there's greater participation in sport arguably ever in our society. 51% of people are active in running, walking, or cycling during the last 10 weeks. That's phenomenal.
Wonderful. Yeah,
it's wonderful, Anna.
As you said, and hopefully we'll all keep it up after we turn a corner with this and come out, as I said, stronger the other side. I think we're going to leave it there. It's a brilliant note to finish on.
We could chat to you all day, and I'm so buzzing that I'm going to get to play the Three Arena with your help. So like, that's just what a start to the show.
Shut up talking about this now for the rest of the show. You do know that, Enda. Enda McNulty, CEO of McNulty Performance, thank you so much for coming on and giving us so much food for thought on this Saturday. Stay well, stay safe, and hopefully we'll catch up again very soon.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks, Enda. Take care. Bye-bye.